This morning's scripture comes from the book of John in the New Testament, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one of them was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." John 13, this is the word of the Lord.
Friends, if this passage, that's a little loud. If this passage sounds a bit familiar, I should tell you what happened as I was preparing for this message. I called Ed and I said, "Ed, have you preached on John 13 lately?" And he said, "No." I said, "I'm thinking of a couple of weeks from now preaching on it." He says, "Go for it." A day later, I get an email from him and said, "You know, as a matter of fact, I preached on it on Palm Sunday." And so I thought, well, I'm on the way. And I thought, if I didn't remember, and I happened to be here on Palm Sunday, and Ed didn't remember, I'm not sure you remembered either. But it was a great sermon. I listened to it again this past week. And so I'm going to assume that you remember all the riches of that text, which Ed so capably expounded to us. And I'm going to approach it from a little different angle this morning. We're ending our short series of remembering milestones that help us mark God's grace in the life of this church and in the life of individuals in our church. And this morning we want to celebrate the many of you who have been involved in a wide variety of ways in the ministries of this church. You've served as volunteers. So many of you have. You know, I think the church is the largest organization on planet Earth that is the most volunteer-driven organization you can imagine. God uses all your small and sometimes major acts of service, and he uses them to change your life. And in changing your life, it changes the life of our church and also the life of the wider community and the world. You know, too often I think volunteering is sometimes seen within the wider kingdom as being viewed more about drudgery and have-tos than a sense of fun and fulfillment. And I suspect that for some of you here this morning, there's a backside, backstory to volunteering that we should at least name and be aware of. Too many willing volunteers have been wounded on the job of volunteering. Some of you have responded to the invitation to serve, but the task was hardly fulfilling, and sometimes you felt it was simply a make-work project, or you weren't adequately prepared to take on the task you were being asked to do, or you felt like you wasted your time. Sometimes volunteers work hard, but they're never reminded of the bigger vision of what they're doing, how it ties in to the larger vision of the church or the kingdom of God. Sometimes volunteers get assigned to tasks that aren't really well suited to how God has wired them with their gifts and talents, and they feel like they're just filling in slots. And yet today, friends, we're going to hear some stories about people in our congregation who have loved serving in this church and in the wider kingdom. Their service, whether inside this church or in the wider community or serving overseas, whether it was helping the poor, the refugees, the orphans, the widows, the marginalized, serving literally changes our life. And that's what Jesus wants to show us in this text this morning. Jesus was about ready to hand over this whole kingdom enterprise that he had started by giving it over to his disciples that he had trained. They were volunteers. He had taught them. He had walked with them. They had had a front row seat in this ministry that Jesus had been doing. They saw firsthand the miracles. They heard all the messages. They saw Jesus' love and compassion for people. And just before Passover, says the text, Jesus wanted to have one last meal with his followers. And you know the story. The disciples had been busy all day with preparations. And in that hot and dusty climate, with everybody wearing sandals, the custom of the day was when you came to dinner and you reclined on the couch and your feet were sticking out behind you, someone in the house would wash your dirty feet. A servant would come and do that. But that didn't happen in this occasion, at this dinner. Something went quite wrong in this upper room. And the disciples are, as they come into this room, they're kind of looking around. They see the equipment, the towel, the basin, the water, but they don't see the foot washer. He didn't show up. And so they have to decide, what do we do? It's kind of unusual. Do we wash our own feet? Does one of us kind of wash everybody else's feet? And each of them is probably thinking the same thing. Just put yourself in the mind of these disciples for a moment. And apparently everybody decides the same thing. Nope. It's not me. It's not my job. I'm not a slave. I'm not a foot washer. And everybody kind of looks at everybody else, figuring somebody's going to do it. And if they say, well, if he's not going to do it, neither am I. And they just head to the tables and recline on the couches. And then Jesus comes in and watch him. He looks at the water, he looks at the towel, he looks at the basin, and he looks at the filthy feet of the disciples. And you can see it in his eyes. 3 years of full-time ministry. many hours of teaching, hundreds and hundreds of messages, thousands of sermon illustration of parables, lots of confrontations in those 3 years. And just at the moment when he's ready to hand over the keys of this whole operation to these volunteers, wow, here's this group of guys, and they look like a spectacular failure. And surprisingly, Jesus just takes his place at the table along with everybody else. Never struck me before until I read this text. The meal started. Verse 2, the evening meal was in progress. And then we read Jesus gets up from the table and he walks to the water in the basin. He takes off his outer robe, picks up the towel, and he starts washing feet. And I can only imagine at this moment you could have heard a pin drop in that room. All you hear is the water being splashed over human skin and falling in that basin. And now look into the eyes of the disciples. There's disbelief, there's embarrassment, there's agony, there's regret, maybe even some tears, and maybe some of them are thinking, what is the matter with me? How could I have missed this? My whole world seems to revolve around me. It's bad enough that I didn't wash my brother's feet, but I didn't even wash Jesus' feet. How does it come to this? What's the matter with me? And then Jesus comes to Peter, and you know the story. Peter resists, but Jesus knows how to silence him, and he finishes the job, including washing Judas's feet, and he resumes his place at the table. And then we read in verse 12 these words. I'm reading it from the message. Do you understand what I've done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so. That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. And then he says this, if you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life. Friends, sometimes we see foot washings in very public settings. When the current president of our Calvin Seminary was installed, Jule Maidenblick, a good friend of mine, when he took on that job, he washed the feet of a number of faculty members who were sitting on the platform with him. When our son Michael, I think it was probably 11 years ago now, got married to Laura in a grass field overlooking the Bay of Fundy, part of the wedding ceremony was Michael and Laura washing each other's feet. Beautiful symbolic gestures of humility and servanthood. But friends, there's more than that going on in this passage. This passage is not really about watching Jesus wash everyone else's feet. It's about letting Jesus put his hands on our feet. And frankly, not all of us want that here this morning. The Gospel of John keeps showing us how God's glory gets displayed in the life of Jesus. And all of it leads to that final place of glory, which is the cross. Washing the disciples' feet was an object lesson in which Jesus is demonstrating what it means that he would fully give his life in death on the cross. A servant who fully gives himself. This foot washing episode in Scripture is not simply about telling proud disciples to get off their high horses and be willing to serve the least. If it were simply that, we have lots of great examples of that in our current life. I mean, Mother Teresa, who's now passed on to glory, comes to mind. Henry Nouwen at the L'Arche community with the mentally challenged in Toronto. Albert Schweitzer. Many of you who have gone on mission trips to Guatemala, Sierra Leone, Mexico, and other countries. The many of you who serve in various capacities, some of you at the Gateway of Hope here in Langley. Our recent Missions Fest Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, about all the many organizations doing God's work around the world. And many of you are involved in so many things, which is about service. Many of you give yourself selflessly for the causes that you are involved with. Many of you dads here this morning, give yourself, spend yourself, invest yourself for the life of your children and as you serve your wife. And John tells us that Jesus, as he's ready to go to the cross, is saying to them and to us this morning, he says, if you want to belong to me, you must be washed by that sacrifice on the cross. And that comes out actually in the only recorded conversation in this foot washing episode, and that happens with Peter. When Jesus comes to Peter with the towel and the basin and the water, he says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? In other words, over my dead body will you wash my feet? And then Jesus says, look, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand it shortly. You see, Peter and the others simply saw Jesus as a wonderful rabbi, a human rabbi. And that's why Peter was so offended that Jesus wanted to wash his feet. And he says, look, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. Literally, it means you'll be cut out of the inheritance. If we don't allow Jesus to clean our feet, our story with him actually ends. It's that serious. So here's the point. Peter, like many of us, are ready to serve Jesus. But being served by Jesus, well, that's another story. You honestly can't serve God if you don't let Jesus serve you first. There are a lot of people doing a tremendous amount of good in this world. They're serving. And even for some who believe that there's an afterlife, they figure that their service, many of them figure that their service will at least get them in. And maybe some of us think that too. In the church, many of us have served here incredibly well and faithfully year after year, and particularly this past year. And we're going to hear some stories about that. We give money and we support causes that help the poor, that serve the marginalized, all of that stuff. But friends, the motive and the heart behind what we do changes when you first let Jesus serve you. When you let him touch your dirty feet, it's pretty humbling to let that happen. But that's the lesson Peter had to learn, and perhaps many of us need to be reminded of that again this morning. That's why we're celebrating communion. Like a foot washing, we need visible reminders of God's great love for us. Jesus' death and sacrifice on the cross is something which only he could accomplish as the Son of God. But Jesus also asks us to show that same kind of love and humility in serving each other. We need to take on that role of a servant with each other. And that involves sacrificing your own interests for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. And I know many of you have done this faithfully this past year. And many of you for year after year. Over the 35 years that I've been a member of this church, I know that some of you here have perhaps been falsely accused of saying this or doing that. And instead of lashing out in anger, you didn't say anything. Or maybe you quietly said, there's another side to the story you just heard about me. And the accusers kind of walked away, feeling like Jesus had washed their feet. There are people in this church who never say very much, at least publicly. They won't be recognized today for the things they have done or keep doing, but they just quietly keep on visiting the lonely and the hurting. They never say much at a budget meeting, but they quietly keep writing their checks and giving money to support God's work here and around the world. There are many of you who may never know the powerful impact of your words in an email or on a card or in a Facebook message, words of encouragement to those who are hurting and grieving. But you keep doing it because you're doing it in the name of Christ and you want to serve. Your service is a way that God transforms you. And many of you who serve in the various ministries of this church can testify that you are actually the biggest beneficiary of what you do, because acting in the love of Christ changes you. Friends, washing each other's feet means we learn to ask for forgiveness from those we've hurt. And maybe you need to do that even today yet, maybe in the fellowship hall after the service. Don't let an opportunity go by without doing that. It means, washing our feet means underlying and celebrating someone's accomplishments and successes instead of harping on their weaknesses and failures. That's how greatness comes about in the kingdom of God. And it happens when you let God serve you first. And Jesus concludes, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And so you've got to decide how you're going to do that this morning. There's an opportunity in the bulletin. You can fill out that green sheet during the course of this service and turn it in. But it's a way of putting it into practice. And when you do, as Jesus says, God's blessings will flow in transforming kinds of ways. Let's do it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for showing us in such a powerful way your great love for us. Lord, there was no task menial enough that you didn't take it on. So teach us to humble ourselves and to demonstrate our love for all that you have done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.